Hello and welcome to the Lincoln County Gardener, a weekly segment broadcast on KYAQ Newport, where the Lincoln County Master Gardeners bring you weekly conversations on a variety of gardening topics. Master Gardeners are local community members trained in scientifically based gardening techniques by Oregon State University Extension Service, so we'll be sharing research-based and locally relevant information. My name is Ross, I'm a Lincoln County Master Gardener, and I'll be your host this week. And with me this week is Master Gardener Janice Smith to talk about how to manage pests in the garden. Thanks for joining me.
Oh, I'm really glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
So how did you become interested in bugs and sort of what's your experience with them?
Well, I grew up in Oregon, and as a child, I always came down to the tide pools and was really interested in all the little creatures that, you know, in the tide pools, and I collect them in jars and, you know, and take them home, and it was really fascinating. And then that sort of morphed into looking under rocks. And then as an adult, I got into vegetable gardening, and then that's when the real interest came, because you're surrounded by these bugs everywhere. You know, they're just, so many of them are so beautiful and bizarre. And if you look at them, they're just born and they just get right to it. They're so busy. They don't worry about what is the meaning of life.
I'm envious of them.
You know, so that pretty much is why I'm interested in bugs. Yeah.
It's interesting that you say tide pooling. I don't know that many people associate tide pools with bugs. So when we say bugs, what types of creatures are you thinking about?
Oh, little crabs and little fish and little hermit crabs, and which are also bugs in a sense. Because crabs, if you eat a crab thinking of, well, I'm just eating a spider, except it has five legs instead of eight legs. So it's sort of like all the same, you know. They are all arthropods, invertebrates with jointed feet.
So we'll take a pretty broad definition of bugs for today.
Yeah.
How do you differentiate between beneficial bugs in the garden and pests?
Well, 99% of the bugs in the garden are beneficial, so I always just assume innocent until proven guilty. And by monitoring my plants and I checking for any damage, and I go from there and see what's going on and what could be causing the damage, and then I know when it's time to intervene or suppress a pest problem.
So what insects in particular, well, I guess bugs, not just insects, are you really focused on monitoring for, and when do you know that that particular bug is at play?
Well, I can use an example of, say, a cabbage white butterfly.
Oh, nefarious.
It's my favorite, I know. So you're out in the garden and you're looking around and you see that something is eating my broccoli. And so you think, well, what could that be? So you see a little green worm and you think, well, that's a little green worm. But if you've studied any entomology, you know that little green worm could mean anything, because it might mean that something went through, laid an egg and then a worm hatched. But what was it that laid the egg? So then if you just watch, you'll see these beautiful white butterflies that come, and you'll notice they're laying eggs on your plants. That leads you to how you can keep this little bug from damaging your plant, which is row covers, so the butterfly can't land on the plant, and picking them off. And that's pretty much how I, just observation is the best thing that you can use to see what could be a pest.
And you're not just taking that particular creature that you're looking at face value, you're thinking about it and how it might move through your garden more broadly.
Yes, exactly.
Over its lifespan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned that you also sort of pay attention to problems. How do you know when it's time to intervene?
Well, that's just basically your tolerance level. For example, if you have a house plant, you probably don't want it to be covered with mealybugs, even though it's probably not damaging your plant. So then I intervene when I find out, if I research the bug and I watch it and see, is this going to kill the plant? Or is this going to completely destroy my crop? Or, you know, it's going to eat a few leaves and then it's going to drop off and, you know, metamorphosize into another, to a butterfly that could be a pollinator. You know, you just sort of have to just really observe what's going on in the garden.
Because it's really not realistic to try to have no bugs in your garden.
basically, if we don't have bugs on planet Earth, we're history. Because they do everything. They help decompose us when we, you know, pass on, and they take care of dung beetles, and they pollinate all our plants, and they pretty much take care of themselves, because parasitic wasps and flies will parasitize caterpillars, and there's a whole chain of life going on. And so insects are, I think, the most important thing we have.
It's often just as important to be attracting them to your garden, not just
absolutely
managing or suppressing.
Absolutely, you want to attract beneficials especially, because they'll help to keep the pests at bay.
Absolutely. So then now that we're sort of talking about keeping pests at bay, what are sort of the principles and approaches that you use to try and minimize a pest outbreak?
The most important thing is the least toxic. So I would use, the first thing I do is physical. I go through the garden and I pick off any pests that I think are damaging my plant, or that I know are damaging my plant. And that can be anything from row covers to just basically picking them off with your hands. I do also use a lot of beneficial insects. For example, I have cucumber beetles in my garden, and their larva is subterranean. They are in the dirt. So you can send away for beneficial nematodes, and they will go into the dirt, and they parasitize the larva of the cucumber beetle. And that's across the board for any pest that you have. You can use that. You can also send away for green lacewings, ladybugs, parasitic wasps, parasitic flies, and beneficial nematodes. And sort of develop, by planting flowers and native plants, an arsenal of bugs on your side that can, you know, maintain the pest at a level of tolerance for you.
Sometimes the solution to bugs is more bugs.
Yes, absolutely.
What other sort of techniques do you use then when you have a problem besides just other bugs or hand-picking them?
For myself, that's pretty much it. I don't use chemical methods, the organic chemicals like the oils, but I find that non-specific methods don't work very well because, not for me, because I don't like to kill anything I don't mean to. And the worst thing that happened to me was I was using sticky traps to catch those little cucumber beetles and apple maggot flies, things like that. And I went down one morning and I had caught a beautiful swallowtail butterfly. And so I thought to myself, well, I really don't want to use non-specific means to take care of pests. If my living depended on having these vegetables, then I might look at it a little bit altruistically. But for just the home gardener, I don't think we need to take out the big guns.
You don't need Roundup for every single minor problem.
No. Although it is there if you want to use it. So, yeah. You know, lots of people who like formal gardens, you know, like all the rhododendrons perfect and the grass perfect. And their level of tolerance is 0% or 1%. And I understand totally that they want to use a little bit higher level. So it just depends on what your tolerance level is.
Would you get into a little bit more of a description of what you mean when you talk about specific versus non-specific?
Well, for example, there's a organism, a microorganism that you can use. It's called BTK. And I can't think of the name right now, but it is a microorganism, and it attacks Lepidoptera caterpillars. Okay, so you can put that and use it to take care of cabbage white butterfly. Unfortunately, that will kill any Lepidoptera larva, so you really need to apply it at the time when you're pretty sure that that little larva from the cabbage white butterfly is on your plant. And that's what I mean by targeting a particular animal, so that you just kill that animal.
And then you also used a couple numbers earlier when talking about sort of your tolerance. What are those numbers referring to?
So if you have a rhododendron and you don't want a single leaf to have a cut or a notch on it, and you have black vine weevils, and so you don't want any of those leaves to be damaged, so you want to use a little heavier than just picking them off. Mm-hmm. Because there are beneficial nematodes for that also.
So then when you're using sort of a gentler approach to pest management, what are these inadvertent consequences that you're trying to avoid with a more aggressive approach?
Killing animals that are beneficial or mm-hmm. we don't mean to kill. And also, in the broader thing, I know that disposal companies have put out pamphlets to encourage people to use organic methods. The homeowners are the people who abuse pesticides the most, because if you're a farmer, you're looking at margins. So you're going to only apply the amount of pesticide that you need to be cost effective. Mm. If you're a homeowner, you may buy a big jar of insecticide, and then you use it 1 year and you don't need it, so you put it in your garbage. Mm. And then somebody has to dispose of that. Could, be toxic to that person.
Mm-hmm. So what do you do if you bought a massive quantity of some sort of an insecticide?
Well, the disposal companies have days when you can take your poisons for mm-hmm. disposal. Mm-hmm. And you just have to watch for that day. And just don't put them in the garbage and throw them in the dump.
Mm-hmm. And only buy what you need, really.
Yeah, only buy what you need. And follow the directions really mm-hmm. carefully.
So you mentioned pamphlets from sanitation companies. What other resources do you like to use when you're dealing with a pest problem of any kind?
Oregon State Extension Handbooks. University of California Integrated Pest Management is a wonderful resource. Other gardeners, lectures and conferences. It's pretty much endless. There's so much information available. It's wonderful, especially with our computers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can link some of the resources that you mentioned on the website, both the Master Gardener website as well as putting them on Kayak.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So what other tips do you want to share with listeners about managing pests in their garden?
Oh, just to appreciate the biology of these animals. They're so beautiful and they're all so different. Mm. Just to appreciate their beauty and not look at them as something you need to step on.
How can listeners learn more about managing pests in their garden from you?
Well, I will be giving a presentation, Creepy Crawlers, Friends or Foes, October 24th, Friday, from 2 to 3:30 at the Community College South Beach campus in the community room. You can register at orcoastmga.org. The registration fee is $5. Mm-hmm. Hope to see you there.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
For some seasonal gardening tips, let's talk about fungal diseases. It's a good time to keep an eye out for any diseases or pests in the garden, especially now that the rain has been picking up. Many fungal diseases thrive in damp and cool conditions, including powdery mildew, which appears as a light gray or whitish powder coating the surface of leaves, as well as downy mildew, which appears as yellowed spots on the top of leaves with corresponding moldy sections on the underside of the leaf. If you're still doing any watering yourself, avoid getting water on the leaves and try to angle hoses or watering cans down close to the base of the stem of plants whenever possible. Prune off any infected material and throw it away. It can't be composted in a regular compost, as pathogens won't be killed off in Lincoln County's mild climate. That's it for our program this week, but tune in for future broadcasts on KYAQ Newport. You can find out how to contact us with all your gardening questions on our website, www.orcoastmga.org, where we'll also be putting these episodes after they air if you need another listen. We'd also love to hear your subject suggestions for future episodes of the Lincoln County Gardener. This broadcast is created by the Lincoln County Master Gardener Association, who work in collaboration with the Oregon State University Extension Services. Until next time, happy gardening!